There you go. We're at the bottom of Kuf Chet Amud Bet. We'll start with the Mishnah there. Haposik Ma'ut L'chot No. Someone who promised a big dowry. Pasha Lo Et Arego. So, I don't know, this is an expression of the Mishnaic times, and he gave him the foot, which means that he didn't pay him, basically. He left him high and dry. Promised him a big dowry, and then never paid him the dowry. Teishev ad shetal bin roshah. It's another Mishnaic expression. She can stay until her hair turns white, meaning that here we have probably Kiddushin, Erusin, without Nisuin, and then the Baal is waiting to do Nisuin. So the daughter wants him either to marry her and complete the marriage, have Nisuin, or to divorce her so that she can go marry someone else. And the Mishnah says that this gentleman is entitled to just say, until your father pays up, you're stuck here. So now Adman Omer, Yehola Hishit Tamar, the daughter can say, Ilu ani pasakti latmi, had it been me who made the promise, then the punishment fits the crime, because I was one who reneged on the deal, and therefore I'm the one who has to sit around. But here it's my father who's reneging on the deal. What can I do? Oknos, either marry me or patur, or let me go. I'm Rabbi Gamliel, ro'eh ani edivre admon. The position of Admon makes more sense to me over here. I think that Admon's position makes sense. So now, there's a general question, is how, which is, I think, part of your question is, how obligated this tnai, or this condition of money, how obligated are they to pay it? Meaning that, what consummated this agreement that he has to pay? So we've seen this earlier that the Dvar Manichim, right, Abamira, which are Tznayim, when they did the Tznayim before the Kiddushin, if you do the Kiddushin after the Amira, then the Kiddushin seals that as being a deal that you can't renege on. So the Rashbam over here says, he tries to bring a proof from here that there are different types of situations. That is, if you look at the Rashbam, top of those, the Perish Rashbam. So, the Amar of Gido, he was the one who said earlier on about the Varma nickname of Mesira. Amdu Bekudju Kanu. So, if they got up and they did Kedushin right away after the Tanayim, then the Tanayim are sealed by that. There's a Kenyan through the Kedushin. So, Hani Mili the Kudju Miyad Mitochasnai. That's only if they did Kedushin immediately after they establish this tznai, or these conditions. Oh, the akar zman, or even if they do it later on, it can be skew at tznai b'shas ha-kiddushim, as long as they re-mention the tznai, meaning that you have to have for the kiddushim, the Kenyan kiddushim, to also affect the Tanoim, or have the Tanoim be a part of them, a part of that Kenyan, they either have to be done right after the Tanoim, or the Tanoim have to be mentioned at the time of Kedushin to have it be a part of the Kenyan Kedushin. Aval, hitnu ato, say they made the conditions or at the time now, v'kiddush lachasman, and then after a while they decide to get married, v'lo kira Tanoim, then they don't mention the Tanoim at all, lav dvar manikim ba'mirahim, it's not automatically that these Tanoim get sealed by the Kedushin. And that's the Rashi one says, that's our case over here. How come the guy can't go to Beis Din and get his claim filled? I mean, if he went to Beis Din, if it was a Kenyan, he's a full-forced Kenyan or full-fledged Kenyan here, he should be able to go to Beis Din and make a claim. Why is he leveraging the daughter to get his money instead of going to Beis Din? The Rashbam says, that's exactly my proof. It's a proof to my case here. This is an instance where they had a condition, they had a dowry that was set out, and then they had Kiddushin, or they made Kenyan Kiddushin later on, and did not mention the Tanoim, and therefore the Tanoim were not bound by the Kiddushin. So his only leverage point is marrying the daughter, and not going to Beis Din.
Yes, it's possible that the father didn't have it.
Right, but even if he does, if he doesn't have it. So, Mokom, right, so that's if you look later on in the Tosfos, that's his answer, exactly. Tosfos disagrees, or the whoever he calls Rebbe here, which I think must be the rear I'm guessing it's three. Mikom Makom, it's in the middle of Tosos. Mikom Makom, it's the second word from the end of a line. It says Mikom Makom. It says Mikom Makom, in near the Rebbe Perusho. That doesn't, I don't agree with the Rashbam here, because he says, I don't think it's Mukhbah from our Gemara, which way it's going. It's not clear from our Gemara that he doesn't have a proper claim. The Mikan, in Shemrayo. Daha, the Kamaritation of Exodim Rosha, Kishin Lulav Klum, Lutain. But the father has nothing to pay. That's why he's not going to pay. He's holding her, you know, as a hostage or leverage because the husband, the father has nothing to claim. So going to Beis Din is not going to do anything for him. So he's got to just hold the girl until he gets the father gets money. Oh, Abal in a road to the truck, will be able to do. He doesn't want it to go through. It's easier for him to leverage his daughter's marriage, right, which is an emotional issue, than to go to Beis Din and have to go through the whole process of Beis Din. But it's Ima Vali my Torah to the Boba Din, Avalili Din. He could have taken her to Din here. It's not necessarily a proof. Anyway, it's just the Rashbam is interesting about in terms of the structure of these idea of the idea that Tanayim or conditions that are part of Kiddushin are included in the Kiddushin is only when either they're right after the Tanayim are made or when they're mentioned at the time of Kiddushin. There's a possibility of having Tanayim, then having Kiddushin, and not having the Kiddushin or the Kinyan Kiddushin be the consummation of the Tanayim or the Kinyan for the Tanayim. And therefore you could have a Kiddushin that does not seal the Tanayim, the Tanayim remain a oral obligation that does not have a kinyan to seal it.
They have tanaim in their board today. Do they mention them like at the kedushin under the chuppah?
Well, first of all, we do kedushin pretty soon afterwards. I mean, that's like pretty proximate. And over there, they make a separate kinyan. By the tanaim today, they make a kinyan shidar, which is separate. So they make an actual kinyan over the tanaim. Yeah, I mean, if you make a kinyan, then you can obligate yourself in anything with a kinyan sudar or with any other kinyan. Here they're talking about the tanaim where they don't make a kinyan except for the kinyan kedushin.
Although I've seen actually a couple of times here, I never saw it before, but I've seen a couple of times here where they the people on the minhag, where they have a bar, they actually do tanaim at the bar. And so it's actually not connected to the
Kiddushin, but they'll do a Kinyan there, but they'll do a Kinyan Sudar. That's what we do today.
Yeah.
So they do a separate Kinyan on the Tanayim, which is independent of the Kiddushin, so they don't need the Kiddushin to be the Kinyan anymore. Masnisan, the Loki Haitana. Our Mishnah is not like this Tana. The Tanya, remember, I said, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudu, Lon Nechluku, Admon, Chavim, Malachosik, Malachod, No Pashod, Oetereka. Case where they argue is not about when the father promised money to his son in law, or his future son-in-law, who pushed the regal and gave him the foot, part of the leg. That's a fair claim that she could say, my father reneged on his deal, but what can I say? Oh, my neck will go. So what is the machlokes between Adman and the Chachamim? She herself made the deal. She herself offered to bring in money. And Chachamim say, if she made the promise and she reneges on the promise, then she can be held hostage to paying out the money. Admon Omer Yechol Eishet Tamar Kizvura Anisha Abanotein Alai. I made the promise on the assumption that my father would give the money. What can I do now? My father's not willing to pay up the money, and I just can't fulfill this obligation. Okay, no, so patur. You know, marry or don't marry me. So then, that would address some of your issue here. According to this Tanya, according to this Braisa, right, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah is saying that the avla, or the reneging, was done by the woman, and she's the one being held hostage for her own mistake, whereas it's not the father's mistake or father's reneging that's causing the daughter to be held hostage.
It seems her parents are a little more generous than they actually were.
Right, she was, right, depending on them. There's a thing, in American law, there's something called the detrimental reliance, which is where someone makes you a promise, and then you go do something based on that promise, or says, you know what, I'm going to give you money, then you go do something based on that, that you could hold, they could be held liable to pay you for the money because you did something based on their statement. So, you know, this concept like this here where she says, I'm coming to marry you. I don't know if her parents told her beforehand that they were going to give her money or not, but that might be similar if they did say to her, we're going to give you money, and then she goes ahead and marries based on that, and then she comes to go get the gift from her parents and they don't give it to her. Does she have a valid claim against them? All right. So So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Ro'eh Ani Et Divrei Admon. So that's the end of our Mishnah, same thing over here in the Brayse, so that he, Rabbi Gamliel, says, I subscribe to the position of Admon. Tana, Bamed Dvarim Avorim, they're qualifying, right, the Brayse, Bamed Dvarim Avorim, the Gdolo. That's when we're talking about a Gdolo. Abba B'Ktana, Kofin. But if it's a Ktana, we force. Smart says, Kofun Lamar. Who are you gonna force here? Elaim Ala'av. Right? If you're gonna force the father, if Kami violates, it should be just the opposite. Meaning that if a Gdola makes a commitment, we're much more worried about the Gdola fulfilling her commitment than a Katana. The Katana doesn't have the ability to make commitments that we're worried about forcing her father to fulfill her commitment. So if it should be that if we're gonna force the father to pay in here, it should be with regards to a Gdolo could make a appropriate, who could make a valid commitment, versus a Ketana, where it's at. I've made the Ramon Bidolo, the Ketana, Kofin, Kofin, Laman, Elim, Lav, Gipkomi, Light. The other way makes more sense. Ella, Amarava, Kofin, the Baal, the Tengek. We force the husband to, or this, engaged husband to disengage. So that's, if it's a Gdolo, we say she made a commitment, and she reneged on her commitment, and she's, you know, she has to live with her own mistakes. But when it comes to a Ketana, we say we don't want to leave the Ketana in this position, and therefore we say give a get. The Bezin is coming to her protection to disengage her from this husband, even though they haven't paid the money. So Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar made a general statement in the name of Chizkiah that any time Rabbi Gamliel says Ro'eh Ani Et Divrei Admon, that's the halacha is kovat that way. So that when Rabbi Gamliel supports the position of Admon, the halacha is like Admon. So I'm really Rovel of Nachman. I feel a bit Braisa. Right? Was that statement only made about Mishnayos? Was that statement made about the Braisa? I mean, this big Nafkamina. Our Mishnah, right, is about the father reneging on the deal, whereas the Braisa is about her reneging on the deal. So which one is it? So I'm really Mikamina of Mishnah. I never qualified the statement and said only in Mishnayos. I said anywhere. And whatever Rabbi Gamliel states it, so it would be true both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. When Rabbi Gamliel says, I think the position of Admon is proper, that the halacha is that way. So Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Bar Yirmiya, Beis Devarim Shamar Chanan Halacha Ki Yotzebo. Right? And the two places that Chanan said halacha that in our Mishnah, the two places that he mentioned it, halacha is Ki Yotzebo. The question of what the word Ki Yotzebo is, we'll discuss in a minute. Shiva Devarim Shamar Adnon and Halacha Ki Yotzebo. And halacha is not like him in the seven places. My Kama. What's he saying in this statement? I mean, the simple reading is, the halacha is like Hanan in the two places he speaks in our Mishnah, and the seven places that Admon speaks, the halacha is not like him. So Mar says, well, how can you make such a interpretation of that statement? What are you going to do with that statement? Right, if you're going to suggest that the halacha is not like Hanan and like Admon in any of these cases, what are you going to do with the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak and Elazar that said that when Rabbi Gamliel supports the position of Admon, the halacha is like it? That you're disagreeing with that statement. Halacha, come on. Shnei Dvarim Shamar Hanan Halacha Kamoto Ukiyotzibo, where the halacha is like Hanan in the two places he's in the Mishnah. Shiva Dvarim Shamar Admon in Halacha Kiyotzibo. Halacha is not like him. Hakamoto. Hakamoso kalacha. The halacha is not like those that are whatever kiyotzibo means, and hakamoso halacha b'kulu. But the halacha is like him in all the cases. Samar Rav Yisrael ben Elazar mishmei dechizigah kamakom shemar regemliel roeh ani et divrei admon halacha kamoso. Amar in lo amar lo. That suggests that only when Rabbi Gamliel supports the position of Admon is the halacha like him. When he does not support the position of Admon, the halacha is not like him. So you can't make a general statement that the halacha is always like Admon, because there are times then that the halacha is not like Admon. Halachti kamar. This is how to explain this statement. Shnei devarim shamar anan halacha kamotu kiyotzibo. Right. Anytime when Hanan spoke in our Mishnah, the halacha is like him in these two instances. Shiva devarim shamar Admon yesh me'am asher halacha kamotu ukiyotzibo yesh me'am. So then, there are certain times, I think the Gerser probably should be saying Uku Yotzibo, right? That the halacha is, sometimes the halacha is like him and Yotzibo, and sometimes the halacha is not like him and Yotzibo. Bekomakom Shamar, and what is that? Bekomakom Shamar Rabbi Yamliel, Rani, it's Riyad Mon, halacha Kamoso, Enoch Lo, the other one's not. So basically the conclusion of the Gemara, the conclusion is that by Kanan, the two types of Mishnah, the Mishnah Halacha is like him. Right, that was based on yesterday's Mishnah that we talked about in the first Mishnah on the Parak. And now the seven that we're going to mention Admon, only when Reuven Leal is there to state that Allah, that he thinks Admon is right, is the Halacha like Admon. Otherwise, it's not. Now, the question about what is the Gemara could have just simply said Halacha Kamoto. What does it mean, Halacha Kamoto? Uki Yotzebo. Right, so Rashi reads the word Kiyotzebo to mean, it's actually right next to the first line in the Gemara. Kiyotzebo means the Hanan. Who's Kiyotzebo? Hanan is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Kiyotzebo, the Admon is Rabbi Gamliel. Meaning that in the Mishnayos, there are people who support the position of Hanan, which is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and there are people who support, or a person that supports the position of Admon, and that's Rabbi Gamliel. So when we say Halacha Kamoto Ukiyotzebo, means Halacha is like them, and those that support them. Right, so the halacha is like Hanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the supporter of Hanan. Although that seems redundant in the Mishnah is mentioning. If you say halacha kamoto, then obviously halacha is kiyotzebo, meaning that it seems that it's a redundancy to say that it's kamoto ukiyotzebo. And then how do you explain the interim step in the Gemara when it says Admon ain't halacha kiyotzebo? The halacha is not like kiyotzebo. It sounds like the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel. Hakamoto halacha kukul, but the halacha is like him in all cases, which means that when Rabbi Gamliel supports him, that's not relevant. But well, issue, I mean, that they could have just said halacha kamoto all the way through. Is and Tosfos brings down Rabbeinu Chananel. There's a different yotzebo ki yotzebo. It's right, the last line in the Gemara, across from the last line in the Gemara in Tosfos. So Zilkach near the Rebbe, compares Rabbeinu Chananel. Kiyotze bo v'dinim acherim hadomim le'elu. Kiyotze bo does not mean in our cases here, it's not relevant to our cases. V'alacha kamoto v'lo kiyotze bo klon v'dinim hadomim le'elu in alacha kamoso. That you can say alacha kamoso means in these specific instances, the alacha is like it. Ukiyotze bo, you can apply his statement here to broader cases that are similar to this. So that's what the Gemara means by kamoto and kiyotzebo. Kamoto, meaning that there are two different items. One is kimoto, meaning it's halacha like him in the cases he's mentioning in our Mishnah. And then kiyotzebo, can you apply these more broadly? We had that yesterday, I mean, almost in the Tosos, whether, it's not exactly whatever, but the Rabbeinu Tam was trying to say that the halacha is like Hanan only by Mizonos and has no broader application. Mm-hmm. So if you say halacha kamoto ukiyotzebo, means halacha is like him in cases that are similar to this case of Mizonos. It's not the Rabbeinu Tam saying, but you would say, okay, the Mishnah mentions the Zonos, and the other Rishonim apply it even to other cases, that would be Kamoto Ukiyotzebo, when you have places that are similar to the Mizonos case, say the halacha is like Kamoso. And that's when the Gemara says it by Admon here, halacha Kamoso Ve'inkiyotzebo. I mean, the halacha is like him in these particular cases, but we can't make broader application of the halacha like him in these cases. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel learns, right, that obviously the appeal of the Rabbeinu Chananel's explanation is that Kamoso and Kiyotzebo are really two different items. They're two separate issues. One is a halacha in this specific case, and there's a halacha for broader context. Whereas Rashi's interpretation, like for Hanan, is the halacha is like Hanan and Kiyotzebo, like Hanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai supports Hanan in both cases in the Mishnah. So what's the point of mentioning that Hanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the halacha is like them? Doesn't really add anything in that case. And then the only case that makes a difference is by Rabbi Gamliel and Admon. And even there, it's not clear what they're saying. Is that halacha is Kiyotzebo, meaning that halacha is Kamoso, meaning like Admon, and not like Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel implies in the other three cases it's not that way. But you could have just said halacha, right? I mean, the easier way to just to say would have been halacha kamoso, period. And then you would have known halacha is like Admon in all the cases and ignore what Rabbi Gamliel says. So, adding the kiyotzebo, that's, I guess, the difficulty they had with Rashi's Peshat and kiyotzebo. The obvious appeal of Rashi's, or probably what drove Rashi, was that the Gemara was discussing Rabbi Gamliel's alright, so next Mishnah, new Mishnah. Hawir al Sadeh, Vikhu Khotam Aleha. So now here, a gentleman has a field that is out there that he claims was stolen from him. But then, the individual who he claims stole the property sells it to a third party. So you have Reuven, alright, I don't want to use Reuven Shimon, let's just use easy case. There's a thief, the owner claimer, right? And then there's a buyer here. So the buyer comes to the supposed thief, and says, he says, the property was stolen from me. Then he goes, well, how could it be stolen from you? And when I sold it, when supposed thief sold it to buyer, you signed on the document to allow it to be sold, which implies that you were saying that it was my property. Why would you sign in a document that sells supposed thief to buyer if you believe the property was yours? The fact that you signed on it means that you believe I could have sold it. So that did he lose his ability to make a claim on the property? So that's a good mission. Or also there, the Hu Khatam Aleha, and he is as an aid, he is one of the aidim on the sale to a third party. I don't know Mara Shane, you know, Leva Rishon Kashimenu. Abba says he has a claim. Basically, I wanted to get it out of your hands because it would have been hard for me to get it out of your hands. He's either, you're a strong man, you have a lot of money, you can go to Beis Din a lot of times, you can go to court, you would cause me a lot of problems. If I get it to this other person, it's much easier for me to get the property back from this individual than it's from you. So there was a reason that I signed on this document that's independent of me saying that I believe that you own the property. There's a reason for me to sign on it without me agreeing to it. Call me on name, even it's a chuto. The fact that you signed it, it means that you've now given up your rights to make a claim here. Asa siman la'acher. You made it as a siman for someone else. Ibid et zchuto. Then you've lost your rights. Meaning that if for instance, again, suppose the thief has the property, and then supposed owner, right, has a field right next to the other field that supposed the thief has, and then he goes and sells his field. Supposed owner sells his field. Does he, when he marks down the field, he says, you know, these are the borders of the field. The borders of the field have supposed the thief's field on my west side. The fact that he created a sale that mentions the other field as being owned by supposed thief, then he had no reason to do it. There's no claim here where he can say, no, actually, it's better for me. Over here, he has a totally separate transaction. In this separate transaction, he mentions that field as the border. The fact that he does that, even according to Admon, means that he's lost his right to make a claim because he's basically said it belongs to this other guy. Had it not, he could have made it the field on the west side, which once the name claims is his field, right? He could have done something like that. But the fact that he just mentioned it as his field means he's lost his right to make a claim. So Amar Abai, Lo Shano, Ela Eid. If he signed on it as an Eid, Aval Dayan, if he's a Dayan signed on this, Lo Yibed Etz Chuto, he didn't lose his rights. The Tani Rabbi Chia, why is that? Because Rabbi Chia says, In Eidim Kodim El Esharlem Kim Karo. Eidim can only sign on a document if they've read the document. If they don't read the document, they can't sign it. They're signing on what's written in the document. Whereas when a Dayan comes, is he signing on the document? No, Aval Dayanim Kodim Apapush Lo Karo. When you come to Beis Din to uphold the shtar, are they looking at the shtar? No, they're looking at the signatures. When you come to Beis Din, the Beis Din is coming to verify that the signatures are valid signatures. So they're coming basically to authorize that these signatures are valid. They're not looking at once the signatures are authorized, what does that mean in the document? They don't care what's in the document. They're just trying to say, okay, are these valid signatures or are these forgeries? That's what they're coming to do. Whereas the aid is coming to testify about what's inside the document. So therefore, if you're signing as an aid on the document, well, that says I read the document and I'm a witness to that which transpired here. And therefore, when he is a witness, he's, according to Chachamim, lost his right to make a claim here. Whereas if he's a Dayan signed at the bottom, all the Dayan says is these aidim were good signatures. Not that we know what they signed on, but they just...
It's not something in the brass of the content.
It's just
certifying the...
Right, that's a good word for it, certification. And therefore, if there's just certification, their signatures don't have any implication about the content of the document. And therefore, even according to the Chachamim, he might have a claim that he didn't lo yibed et zchuto. He didn't lose his cause. They also siman la'acher. They made it as a siman for acher. Amar Abai lo shana ela la'acher. Aval li'atzmo lo. But when it comes to himself, no. I'm sorry, lo yibed et zchuto. He didn't lose his right. Alright, so now, this happens to be unclear. There are a lot of pronouns here. It's unclear what the pronouns refer to. So, Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Lo shnonu ela la'acher, Dafka nakat masnisan siman la'acher, Aval asal muchzak ba siman li'atzmo. So Reuven, Zeora, Shai Shimon Mocher. So now, Rashi says la'atzmo over here refers to who? The supposed thief. And so Rashi says, is this lotion well la'acher? If it was regard to a third party. But if he's selling it back to the supposed thief, then lo yibed et zchuto, he didn't lose his rights. To Amar, ilo abdi le'achi, lo abim mezavin la. If I didn't agree to do this, he would never have bought the property from me. So you have here supposed owner and supposed thief. Supposed owner owns a property next to the supposed thief. Right? His domain. He had two adjacent properties, and he claims one was stolen by this Hawaiian, one he owns now. Now he wants to sell the property that he has full ownership over now. He wants to sell it to the supposed thief. So he goes to sell it, and on that property, when they write the document, it says on the west side is supposed thief's property. So is that, again, in the Mishnah we said that if he marks the borders by evades the kuto. But over here he can make a claim, he has a valid claim that what? If I did not write that it was supposed to be thief's property on my west side, he won't buy the property from me. Because he's not going to accept the fact that I wrote on the west side is my old property that he stole from me. He won't buy the property then. So he can make a claim, my demarcating the property with his name on the property on that side is not an admission that it's his property, it's just a way to facilitate the deal. Because the deal wouldn't have gone through otherwise. So that's what Abai says. According to Rashi, I'm going to buy Losha no la'achter. That's only when he sells the property to a third party. He sells the property to a third party. There was no reason for him to demarcate the borders with his supposed thief's property because they won't upend the property. If he says it's my property that supposed thief is on right now, that would have been good enough for anybody else who's buying the property. Problem comes if Alatsmo, if he's selling it to the supposed thief himself, well, he made it to Kuto. He would not have bought it. He wouldn't have bought it from me. So what are you going to say? I should have, even though I signed on it, I should have told other people that I really don't believe in this. I mean, that when I demarcated the borders with his property being on the west side, I should have gone over to someone else and said, you know, privately, listen, I'm only signing on this to get the deal done, but that's not really it. I mean, that he should make a side agreement with someone about that, or side, not agreement, but side note. Mention, notes, right, a note about it. So he says, I don't have to do that. Why? This is a very great sociological statement of the Gemara. Kaverko, kavra islay, kavra the kavra, kavra islay. Right? Your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, and news travels. Right? Even if I do it privately or quietly with someone else, that's going to get around, and it risks the transaction taking place, and therefore I was not willing to mention it to someone else or to say what this is around. Listen, you know, I really only signing on this to get the deal done because those witnesses talk to someone else, they talk to someone else, and they get back to the buyer, and he won't buy it based on that.
Is it that he won't buy it from you or he won't sell it to me?
Buy it from you. He's buying it here. The supposed thief is buying over here. He won't buy it from me.
No, it's a third party. He won't buy it from me because I'm not.
No, third party is not an issue here. That's not the qualification of buy. This is qualifying a buy statement. Buy says only when he sells to a third party is a demarcation and ebit of a loose. But if he sells it to the supposed thief, then he can demarcate it with the supposed thief's property on the west side. Why? Because he'll say, I can't get the sale to go through unless I mark it that way. So he said, the guy is speaking to me, oh, maybe you'll say to me, I should have just told someone else, even though I didn't mark in the document, I should have noted it with someone else. He says, I can't do that because that will also ruin the sale because they'll find out through the back door, they'll find out about it.
This is the other way.
That what?
That he's buying it. And his claim is, love is Abin Lai, he wouldn't have sold it to me otherwise.
Oh, okay, so that's the other.
Which kind of makes more sense. Because
I was saying to you, I explained it according to Rashi. All right, now, because I told you there's a pronoun here, which is not clear. What does La'atzmo mean? If he sells La'akher, we know that means the third party. La'atzmo, what does La'atzmo mean? So Rashi reads the Atzmo to mean the, right, Mukhzak, the one who's holding the property. Okay, now, Simon Akher, look in Tosfos, Tosfos says otherwise, Simon La'akher. Right, that it's talking about the owner, meaning the supposed owner. Right, he sold one of his properties and he made a siman with a mukzak. He sells one of his properties to the one who holds it. He wants to buy it from me. So, right? So the way Tosfos learns is that it's the Ma'orer selling the property, right? And that's the Mux to the Mukhzak. Now in Rashi, it's the other way around. Whereas Rashi says, Lo shanu el ha'akher, dafinang nesimun ha'akher, aval asa mukhzak basiman la'atzmo shel Reuben. Zer mo'erera, sheshimon mokher sodeh shebetzidah l'Reuben. And he's selling the property to, on its side, to Reuben himself. Right, is there more or less? So, right, there are two possibilities of who the Atmo is over here. Rashi learns the Atmo is the Muksa, which is what you guys are quoting from the English, from your translations over there, is that the supposed thief is selling him additional property on the side, or selling him a piece of property on the side, and he demarcates the property with his own property being, or his supposed thief's property being marked as his own property. The guy says, I can't say no because he won't sell me the property. Mm-hmm. This one's the other way around. It's the Me'orer, the guy who is the supposed owner, selling property on the adjacent property to the supposed thief, and therefore he's being Me'orer. And either way, so the question is that there's now a transaction between supposed thief and supposed owner. And once you have a transaction between supposed thief and supposed owner, they can make a claim, supposed owner can make a claim that in order to facilitate the transaction, I have to allow supposed thief to demarcate the property as such, or I have to demarcate the property as such, otherwise the transaction would not have gone through.
And if you get into a third person owned that paper, you know?
No, because then a third person doesn't care how you demarcate the property. You could say then...
Who's going to be the owner of the loan state?
Right, you could just say, the property on the west side belongs to me, but supposed thief is living in it right now. Right, he can note that in the document, and it doesn't detract from the document.
I think the Gemara says the question of him to Adrian would have to be before he signed. It cannot be after.
Right, because then it doesn't. It's backing out of is what he signed, right? But the Gemara rejects it, says that he doesn't have
right.
Because Kavra the Kavra is the.
It just feels like the timing makes more sense if he's buying the field because. He's selling it, so this guy won't buy it, so sell it to
someone else. Right, but then he said, this is the deal. You could make the claim that, and I think you could make the claim in Rashi's interpretation that it's only when the supposed thief is selling the property that we say that this is true, but when supposed owner is selling the property, that's much more of an admission. Right, then supposed thief on the property. Supposed thief, I'm facilitating the deal, and therefore
I want to buy
the adjacent property, and that's the only way I can do it by allowing supposed thief. But if I'm supposed owner, then when I write that into the property, even though it's to facilitate the deal, we're going to say to you, it's still not right. You know, the fact that if you're willing to do this to facilitate a deal, maybe you really don't have to
pay more for the thief. Because the property is adjacent, and it's much better to have two fields that are adjacent to each other.
Right, so I think that would be to make that claim, right, that the even by supposed owner selling property to facilitate the deal, deal is a deal. If he wants to facilitate the deal and he'll get more money, for instance, because it's adjacent properties, because supposed thief's there, then he's willing to demarcate the property with this other guy's name, even though he doesn't mean it to be an admission that he doesn't own it. Right. I think you have sides to say on both sides.
Maybe it's something.
Maybe it's irrelevant. Maybe Rashi agrees to both. I mean, there's a possibility that Rashi and Tosafos would agree. It's just what is the lashon mean at the end of the Gemara?
Sorry. Maybe it's some. Maybe it depends on what Rashi has a different view of who writes the shtar. Because that would make a difference. If he writes a shtar and I just sort of go with it, that's one. But if I write the shtar and I write in the one that, you know, that's a weaker point. Say, I knew if I wrote it, it's my opinion, and do it. If I'm just going to move it and he wrote it, so if the borrower writes it.
Right, so that's the equivalent of, right, that's equivalent, a little bit of what we said before, that if it's the supposed thief who's driving the transaction, maybe then I can say I'm going along with it. But when the Me'orer is driving the transaction, maybe he can't make that claim anymore.
It's
a possibility. It's very possible that they agree. I just say it's interesting. They use the pronoun of Atmo to mean that either side. Right, I mean, either they're just talking, what does Atmo mean here? Or is there an Afkamina between the two studying over here? So he says, it's also happens to mention that the Yerushalmi sounds like Rashi. Right, the Yerushalmi sounds a little more like Rashi, that the Atma here is referring to the books of the supposed thief. All right. How would Asa Siman La'acher? So this person made a boundary, a property as a boundary around him, ear air, and then he was ma'arer on it, Yerushalmi. And then he died. So the Beis Din appointed an apitropos, an executor for the estate, for the assumption. At the apitropos, the coming nearby, I'm like, Asasi Manachar, he did it to Chutzo. Right, so if the guy says to him, you know what, they lost the property because their father demarcated the property on the side, right, so therefore he lost his rights, as we just discussed. If you sold it to a third party, demarcated the property with supposed thief's property on the side, then you've lost your right to make a claim. Even Admon agrees to that. So the Apotropos came to help out the Yisom, and the guy says, you know, the father lost his rights. If the father of the son was alive, you make the claim. Tell him, you know what, you're right. I admit that one plow's worth is his on the side. Not the whole property, but one plow's worth is his. So yes, on the left, on the west side of this property is one plow's worth of the other guy's ownership. After that, it's my property again. So he could make that claim. So why can't I make that claim for the summit? Amalei, Shapi Karamart. That you said right. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Imtan, Vamar, tell him Echad, Asit Pekha Ne'amon. He's allowed to say this. Zilhavle, Miyad, tell him Echad. So he says, all right, you know what, you're right. If you make such a claim, then you're right. You can keep this property, but you have to at least give him one talent. You have to give him one plow's worth, right? So have Allah, Rikwa the Dikla. There was a palm tree on the, or a row of palm trees on that one row. It wasn't simply just a row. On that borderline was a whole row of palm trees. So Amar Lei, Yav Avun the Yami Kaim, I'm talking about Amar Chazarti Lekachti Mimenu. I went back and I bought it back from him.
And I planted the tree.
Right? Not that I planted the trees, but I did that. I mean, that it was, if it was telling that for one row, he'd say to him, go take the one row, and who cares? I mean, what's he going to do with one plow's worth of property over there? Because now he has a row of the column over there. He doesn't want to give it up, but he's selling him. If he gives up that one row, he's giving up all the column. He says, Amar, Chazarti Lekachti Mimenu. He can make a claim. The father could have made a claim. I went back and bought it back from him. Why is the only reason we know that it belongs to him is because he demarcated it as a property. Right, so Rashi makes a claim here. All right, you know, we'll get back to how Rashi says. Amalei Shapi Karmai, you said good, you said well, spoke well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tan Ba'amar Chazarti Lekachti Mimenu Ne'amon. He's believed. So Amar Abaya, listen to this statement, Abaya. Hi, Ba'ad Demukum Apitrofu Nukum Kihai. If you're going to appoint an executive estate, appoint an executive like this, the other Pukhim is Kuta Diatme, who knows how to make claims for Yisomim, meaning that he knows how to, he knows Allah, he knows Rabbi Yochanan's statement, and he's able to get the Allah asking in favor of the Yisomim. Now, that obviously the difficulty, and I'll just point it out, look in Tosus here, this is a bit, again, they can't, this will not be put in the art scroll by Archbishop of Abaye. But Tosus says over here, Abaye lo yazokro b'divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye forgot or did not remember what Rabbi Yochanan said, Haji skew Apitropos, until the Apitropos said it. You know, we had this underlying assumption that he knew everything. You know, Abaye, how did he not know what Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't know what Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't remember what Rabbi Yochanan said, and he needed this executor to remember him, that he would have passed in the din incorrectly. It was not the fact that this executor pointed out the
evidence.
Tainah, you have to make the Tainah, right? No, because it says, the Tainah told him in the Yershin.
Ordinarily, someone has to make Tainah, but for Yershin.
No, he would have Tainah, Abaye would have done the Tainah on the behalf of the Yershin if he had remembered it. But here and now, the executor is coming in to force him to do the Tainah in his, on the behalf, because he passed him up above. He said, you know what? It's not your property. He lost his rights. And then this executor comes and reminds him about the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and goes, oh, you know what? You're right. It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic about Abaye. I mean, it just, from a perspective of that they were able to, they did forget or they didn't remember something, you know, that they were human beings. About Abaye. All right, now just explain, how does it work here? Meaning that why, when he comes back with a claim that says, I went back and bought it from him that he's Ne'amon. Why is he believed in that case? If he says he demarcated it as a border property, so now he's lost his right to it, and then he comes back and says, I went back and bought it from him. And so Rashi says, a pesha osur, who is pesha hitir? It's a very loose way of using it, because that's not usually the way we look at pesha osur, pesha hitir. Rashi says, pesha osur, pesha hitir here is the ma'akashesh edim, shaita shalom. Right, even after we have edim, so the Rashi says, yes, that edim that it's his. The nizalai menu, and it was stolen from him. Inla says, chutbo, so tell him. He doesn't have a right in this plow's worth, right? Or this one row. Al pir shalzet. The only reason that with edim and with a that thing was stolen, he no longer has a right to make a claim is why? Because he basically admitted in another document that he had given up the property. So now he's reversing that, he's undoing that damage that he did.
I don't understand it the other way. In other words, since he brought witnesses and established that the field belongs to him, the other guy, the thief, really has no claim even on the tell-em, except for the fact that this guy said,
right,
give him the tell-em.
Exactly, that's the right
thing. And now he says, he's the best of Pasha. He took a tell-em away from himself, so he can also give the tell-em back to himself.
Right.
You know, say, yeah, I gave it to him now, and I brought it back to him.
Although it's different, I would say different than Pasha. Right? I think that's how we explain Rashi, that it's, he has evidence that it's his field, but he loses his right to bring that evidence because he said it would be demarcated as a border somewhere. And now
not for the field, just for the town.
The town, because that's the first claim of the open on that. When you demarcate a border, you can say it's just one row and not the whole field. Yeah. Right, so now when it comes to losing that town, he can come back and say, I bought that town back, just like I'm the one who causes me to lose the right to make the claim with Adim and the... that it's stolen. So now I'll take it back and I'll say I bought it back. But the Pesha Atzma Pesha Yitzir is in generally an instance where we have like Nishbeis, cases of Nishbeis Velo Nitmeiti. I was taken captive. When I was taken captive, I was not Nitmeit. So the only reason we know she was taken captive is because she says it. And then she says, well, while I was captive, nothing happened to me. So we say we live by her word. Her word is, you know, such and such. And now, we're reversing, you know, we're safe because she's what told us that we can believe her in both instances over here. Over here, what's the real claim? He's saying, I demarcated as a property, that's a given fact. So for instance, we had Adim that she was in this space, we can't, then when she says, I was in this space and his mate, she's no longer believed because we don't need her, right, to tell us that she was in this space, we have proof from somewhere else. So again, when he signs the documents, right, now, is it really that he's saying, now, my property, I sold the property, I demarcated the property, and now I'm taking it back? Whereas now, this document is like the equivalent of witnesses that are coming along and saying, Nishbeit, right, even though Nishbeit. I mean, the document's out there. He can't say the document doesn't exist.
No, but the document is overturned by his witnesses.
No, the document's not overturned by his witnesses. The witness says...
That implication of the document is overturned by his witnesses because he finds that he did it only in order to be able to purchase the field.
He doesn't have a claim now because he didn't need to demarcate it that way. He could have demarcated it. He's selling to a third party. So it's a third party. He didn't have to demarcate the property that way.
No, but we're not talking about where he sold it to a third party.
Yeah, it's where he made the kuta. It's a case where he lost his rights to the property. So if he sold it to it by himself, then he would have lost his rights to the property. Right, so here, losing the right to the property means that he was selling it to a third party. All right, now, why? So again, the reason that we know, or the reason that we believe it's not his property is because there's a document over here. So for him to come out to make a claim that, okay, this document's invalid because I bought it back from him. Right, so that's an independent claim to something we have witnesses for. So it sounds more like a case where Nishbeit, we know she's Nishbeit because of witnesses, and then, right, we know Nitmeit, she's speaking about it. Right, so the Pesha also Pesha Yitzir in Rashi is a difficulty. So Tosfos says, Tema. Right? What's the, right, Tosfos over here, Imtan, Ba'amar, Chazaitu, Lakazmin, Amen, and Tema, Amai, Neman. Oh, behold, the Lav Shalohu, Heik, Yecholiton, Shuv, Chazaitu, Lakakti. Right?
It's
a separate case. You know, I mean, he had one case, there was the Don, and now he comes back and he's saying, you know what, when he comes back to make a claim on the Telem, all right, the claim on the Telem, he brings witnesses, it's mine, but the other guy pulls out a document and says, look, you signed a document that says it was the border. So now he says, you know what, but I bought it back from you. That's all going on in basin. It's not, so why does he believe that he bought it back? I mean, what's his real claim that he bought it back? I mean, he doesn't have a star, he doesn't have anything, right, that says that he bought it back. Says, Dema, my name, an overhodu, the lachalo. He already admitted that it's not his. Meaning, separate instance, case, he totally admitted. Oh, hey, chicholitun, shu chazetu lakakti, the chitema, neman, bemigo. Tamigo, tibai, lava chatam, vava molde. So what's amigo? Had I not signed on the document, I could have not signed on the document. The fact that I signed on the document, believe me now, because I'm saying that I bought it back. Lav milsi, dechi I gaba, lo amrin amigo, kadiprishnoel. This is what we talked about earlier. Why? The Lotanin and Lamim Mizuyafu. We don't make a claim that what? That it was Mizuyaf. You can't go back and make a claim. Had I not signed on it, right, then it would have been like I could have not signed on it. That is, you did sign on it. You can't make a case of amigo where something's already happened and you say I could have lied, but I didn't lie. That's not a valid claim in Migo. Migo said that I have two choices in front of me, and I made the better choice at the time. What I thought was the better choice, and therefore I'm not lying, because had I thought the other choice was better, had I wanted to, I could have made another choice. But over here he didn't do that. At the time of Khatam al-Ashtar, we weren't standing in front of him and saying he's making the claim. He signed on that document not thinking, oh, if I wanted to, if I make a claim later on, I can buy it back. That's not what he's thinking at the time. He signs on it, that's it, it's done. He can't say now, if I didn't sign on it. That's not a valid claim. Now, how does it supposed to explain it? Omer Rebbe, the Matzina Lefarish, Hokum Mari Kedon, She'ain Tav Yadei Ha'idim Yotei B'makum Acher. Here, the problem is that his the signatures, the guarantee, Edim, we cannot certify the Edim signature here. If you can't certify the signature of the Edim here, then he can't have Migo over here. Migo, by Amar Mizuyah, who will have come to Asit Siman, if he can do that, then he can...
He's one of the Edim?
Right, he is one of the Edim, but they can't prove the signature, then he can make a claim it's a forgery. It's not my signature. It was someone else signed on my behalf.
We'll just make him sign it.
Right. That's how they did it. In those days, the way the signature, they had brought previous signatures, right? To see, so he can make some. The MIGO works now is because the document's not a valid certified document. His aegis is not certified. His aegis or signature is not certified, then we are still living by his word that it's his signature here, because he could make a claim that it's not my signature, someone forged my signature. So if I have that claim, now I have a valid claim. Either he can make two claims here. I can fix a forged signature, or he can say, I did sign it, but I bought it back. In that case, you have a real MIGO. Whereas if the signatures are certified, what's his claim now? I could have not signed it. It's signed and we have it certified. There's nothing to talk about anymore. You've already, one of your claims is gone and you can't make that claim. There's no MIGO left. So Tosfos has to come up with that case to make it more like a Pesha Asu Hu, a Pesha Iter. He's using it as a MIGO, but he's making a case where it's like Nishveit, Lo Nitmeit. Why is the signature, why the signature is believed over here? Because he says it is my signature. Without him, the signatures will not be certified. So therefore when he says, I signed it, it is my signature, and I bought it back, that's Pesha Osir, Pesha Hittir. Whereas if the signatures are certified from another place, then what do we need him for? We don't need him anymore. He's not necessary to have this document be certified or valid, and therefore his coming along and saying, oh, I bought it back, has no relevance to what he did with signing.
I can still understand rationally. In other words, sure, knows if the signature is certified, but still, whose signature is being certified over there? His signature. If his signature is not there, you have only one witness, Shire doesn't have...
But that's not saying I can come back and undo my signature. I mean, you can't...
No, but he's still the Pesha Asar. He's not undoing what he said. He's not saying, that the Talon wasn't his.
Right, right.
He's saying the Talon was his. Good.
Right.
I went back then. And he's the Pesha Asar. He's the one who, thanks to his signature on the Shtar, established that the Talon belonged to the other guy in the first place.
Right, but generally with Pesha Asar, Pesha Hittir, we say that they're... All right, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's why you have to explain Rashi. The difficulty is that generally when we have Idus...
It's not classic...
Pesha Asar is only when we don't have proof from somewhere else. And then once he's signed... He's almost gone. It's like, who cares which age signed on it? It becomes now a valid document, independent of who...
All right, but if the signatures weren't certified,
right,
and it weren't validated that it was his signature, then it wouldn't be good.
Right.
So therefore, the fact that it is his signature is what...
Well, no, if it's a validated signature, not that's his signature. It's validated from somewhere else. You can buy from somewhere else.
Well, I say this, I say, you can go back with it, but I hear it.
He signs that he's signed as an A. I'm suggesting that he's also the buyer seller.
Not in this case, he's not the buyer seller. Because if he's a buyer or seller, then he has a valid claim to say, I signed only to have the transaction go through.
This is going back to the original case.
Okay. This is a guy who passed away. He left through he passed away, but he signed before he passed away. He was hired on a Sadet. He signed on a third party document that
that
even Admon would agree that he has no claim anymore.
So the case was simply as a buyer or seller, he didn't sign also as a witness. It was just that he was part of an agreement.
No, he signed as a witness in those cases.
He was also?
Yeah, because it was his agreement. I mean, he signed
as a witness.
Actually, I take it back. He couldn't be the witness because he's one of the parties to the document.
The case we say doesn't apply. It's not what you can say. The case which is that one. It's an aid.
Right.
So because it's a little funny, because Morris is going back before the Morris has aid and says, well, Shannon, only blah, blah, blah. But it's the only case that he's an aid, and when he's not, it's his transaction would be an aid, so it's not perfect.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but he's just saying that when you use the property as a demarcation,
yeah, it's a demarcation, it seems you're part of that.
No,
property.
But also, if he were the participant, not the aid, then you wouldn't have an undisputed case because he can make the title, but he only did it because otherwise the guy.
Right.
Your point is that he's not an aid anymore.
He's not an aid, right? But I mean, but I guess it's the same logic that your name is on a document that you're.
Right. Your willingness to put your name on a document.
It's not an aid.
All right. Last mission out on the page. Finish up. That's it. What? Inshallah.
Now?
What?
In
government? No. But they're going to be a little late. Okay. Because of the time is right. Inshallah, the Medina Sayyam, of the Derek Sadeo. So we had this earlier in the Gemara, or actually, probably added in Yabamos also, right? In Simbamos. Someone who went to the Medina Sayyam, of the Derek Sadeo, he has no way to get in. He went away, and basically he owns a property that's surrounded by other properties, and he had a path there. But when he comes back, he forgot where the path is. I don't know. Where Yechlobik Tara? He can take the shortest route in. You know, the way we lose the least for the people around him is by taking the shortest route. Come here, you can allow Derek. Come here, you fuck me, Amir. You know, he's out of luck. Either the guys are going to extort him and he's going to have to pay, or he flies over. So either he pays a pretty penny to get in, or he's got to build a bridge. You can't even do that. He doesn't have air rights, but he's got to get over there. My time is up on them. What's the reason about it? Shafir Kamar Admon. Admon makes sense. I mean, we know we had access to the property. Why can't he get in there? Somebody number up. There are four different people on four different sides. What can they do? Each one of them say, go to the other guy. It's not on my property, it's on the other guy's property. So yeah, it's on my time to Admon. Then what's Admon's claim? Go against the Sarah. Each one of them can push him away. It should be good. If you have four people who own it now, who bought it from four owners, or four owners now that bought it from a single individual, in that case, they can push him away. Why? Because at this point, you can't go to one single individual and make a claim for them. Because even each individual can say, it belongs to your path or shortcut in here is in another place. One guy bought from four people. The guy can say to him, look, you bought all four properties. You definitely own my right in here, so give me my way. He's shot this. He can say back to him, listen, if you're silent, fine. I'll send it back to the four original owners, and then you'll have nothing. And then you'll have no claim anymore. He's saying, listen, you really don't have a claim against me because I can undo this transaction. If I undo this transaction, you're worse off than you are right now. So either pay me now and you'll get I'll give you a space. Pay me a nice pretty dollar and you'll get a space. Or I'm going to just send this whole transaction back and it's going
to get it. He can't be saying pay me too much because otherwise what does the guy have to lose by having him send it back to the four others?
Because the four others will get nothing. And he has no chance of getting it because the four others will not pay him.
He'll have to pay $100. I'll have to pay whatever they demand. Sort of the same way. You're better off dealing with me. That's what he's saying. You're better off dealing with me than before them. Because
they'll charge you even more. All right. So they'll extort you even more than I'll extort you.
I'll extort you just a little.
So this is a separate case. Some guy says to my daughter should take the jekyll. He's about to die. He says, my daughter, I'm giving these palm trees to my daughter. They went ahead and divided up the spoils to their father's property and they didn't give her a jekyll. Sorry, Yosef, they mara hainu machnizan. This is our Mishnah. Right? That she's entitled to, they have all these stolen here, and she comes in claim on the palm tree, and they say each one of them is going to say the palm tree is in the other guy's field. You have more than one inheritor, and each inheritor is going to say your palm tree is in the other guy's field. Awesome. Over in our case, each one can push them away. We know for sure that the estate has the dikla. What do you do here? One of them has they have to give her a palm tree and then redivide the property. Meaning that over here, the estate at one point was a single estate, and that single estate for sure has a decal in it, and she could have made the claim. Now that they divided the estate later, that's their problem. They can't kind of start pushing her around now. Right, that's the. So they can't push around now because it's not similar to our Mishnah. Whereas in our Mishnah, right, it's the Arba, the Mekoach. They're coming Mikoach Arba, or the Arba, the Mikoach Had, they're Medakale because there's never a point where any of these individuals or the estate that she was supposed to have had a single ownership over the property. Right, how is Amarlo Dikla the Brat? This is another case. I said he gave a Dikla to his daughter. Shchev, he died, but Shamok Trey Paga the Dikla. As part of his estate, not only did he have palm trees, he also had partnerships in palm trees. So what did they do? They gave her, instead of giving her a whole Dikla, deco, they gave her half partnerships, 2 50% partnerships to get into a whole deco. You have to ask for Kokashle, Mika, Rachel, Trey, Pagan, Nikla, Dikla. Do people call when you have 2 50% decos, is that the equivalent of one, I own a deco, but he really means I have 50% partnerships? People call 2 half decals or 2 half partnerships as a single entity, and therefore you can give the Yisomim were right in giving her the single deck, the 2 partnership decals to in place of a single decal over here.